Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, he was trying to shoot a bear that he saw in the Great Dismal Swamp Refuge. That's what he told police, but his boyfriend got in the way and took the bullet.
That's a mistake.
When pressed by investigators... When pressed by investigators, however, his story started to fall apart. There was no bear.
There was no bear.
No. Maurice Devonte Lee was arrested on one count of assault with intent to commit murder. If convicted, Lee faces the possibility of 20 years in federal prison. Lee had reported the shooting at about 2:45 on May 12th. Police officers have responded to the call, found Lee standing over his boyfriend, who is identified in the documents by the initials MJ. The victim was lying face down with a gym bag supporting his head and a jacket on his back covering a single bullet hole.
Why'd you shoot me?
Medics arrived and took the victim to an area hospital for treatment. He survived.
And so his immediate deflection was there was a bear?
He was trying to shoot a bear. In interviews with police...
You need to understand that we were being attacked by a bear, so I shot my boyfriend.
But here's what he said. In interviews with the police and the FBI, yeah. Lee said that he was walking on the trail with his boyfriend when they saw a black bear. He said the victim started running toward him with the bear behind him. Lee said he tried to shoot the bear with a 9mm handgun, but accidentally hit the victim.
So he turned around. His boyfriend is between him and the bear, so he's going to shoot past the boyfriend towards the bear, but shot his boyfriend. Seems like a feasible story.
Now, before calling 911, Lee called his mother, documents said. The story quickly started to unravel. The document said Suffolk police went to the hospital and spoke with the boyfriend. The victim said that he and Lee had been in an on-again, off-again relationship for a while, and that Lee had sometimes been abusive towards him.
Uh-huh.
He said he traveled down from Pennsylvania earlier in the week to gather some belongings and visit with Lee. The victim was scheduled to return to Pennsylvania the day of the shooting. Victim said that Lee suggested they have a picnic in the refuge and that he agreed. While they walked around, Lee repeatedly said that there were black bears in the area. So he's laying the groundwork here. After walking for a while, the victim asked Lee if they could leave. The victim said that Lee responded by shooting him one time in the upper left chest area. When the victim fell to the ground, Lee stated flatly, there was a bear.
Maybe his boyfriend was a bear.
I didn't even consider that.
In that community, it's quite possible.
Yeah. So the victim.
But you wouldn't shoot your bear, your desired bear.
I hope not.
There might have been another guy running behind him.
A more aggressive guy.
Well, the victim said that he saw Lee walk away and talk on his phone after the shooting. After one call, the victim said Lee walked over to him, looked down, and said, oh, you're still breathing.
Oh, God.
Wow.
At that point,
the emotion, you can feel it.
Lee bent over, took the victim's cell phone, and threw it into some nearby water. When the victim,
this ought to help.
When the victim asked Lee to call an ambulance, Lee responded, are you going to tell on me? Lee initially stuck with his story that he accidentally shot his boyfriend while aiming at a bear. He said that he used a gun that he'd taken from his father's bedroom earlier in the day. Confronted with the boyfriend's version of the events, however, Lee admitted he had lied.
So I said I was shooting a bear and I shot him and now he's all upset.
Lee said that they were arguing about their relationship when they started tussling. He said that he then pulled the gun and it went off. Lee said the victim told him to lie to police. He said that the boyfriend wanted him to claim he had actually shot himself. When Lee told the victim he disagreed with lying, the boyfriend then came up with the bear story.
Well, this is all great, but somewhere out there, there's a very aggressive bear they need to find.
Lee said they threw the victim's phone in the water because he wanted to destroy any evidence. So this guy's going to go to jail, potential murder case. I have another bear story.
Oh, man. Woo. Love him.
A bear was caught on camera wandering around the Reverend Joe Kempf of Most Sacred Heart Parish Catholic Church in Eureka, Missouri on Tuesday.
I'm here to make a confession. I just made one gay dude shoot another dude. And I feel really bad about that. And bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 6 months since my last confession. I just recently made one gay dude shoot another gay dude. I feel bad about it.
Teachers were cleaning out classrooms and a door had been propped open for about 2 minutes when the animal wandered inside. I think it barely fit into that confessional.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like fur sticking through the...
huge.
Like when the priest slides the thing back, it's just fur.
Just fur. sticking through the screen.
What is your sin, my son?
Well, first off, I'm a bear. That's why all that fur is sticking to the grate.
The bear ended up in a bathroom where it was locked inside.
The bear's in line with the other parishioners.
Yeah, just, looking at his feet. And, yep. So it was locked inside into the bathroom until the police and the Missouri Department of Conservation officials could arrive. The animal was tranquilized and carried out to be relocated. In New Zealand, a man who performed a pants-down haka in the middle of a street whilst his genitalia swung freely has been ordered to undertake the year a year of counseling. Now,
a haka is like a primal dance?
It is a dance. It's a cultural dance.
Yes. Yes.
And Wahati Albert appeared in court after pleading guilty to offensive behavior, assault with a weapon, and committing a threatening act. The defendant was seen in the front yard of a nearby home. Those who lived there were concerned Albert had helped himself to their alcohol, and he was asked to leave. He did. Albert walked into the middle of the street, turned to face his accusers, and he started to do a haka. And whilst he did this, he pulled down his trousers so that all the students present could see his genitalia, police said.
You don't do that. That's not the way to haka.
He continued with the haka whilst his genitalia swung freely, they said. The act alone was offensive, but it was particularly disrespectful to the Maori, which I assume are indigenous.
So it's basically a sea haka.
I guess so, yeah. Albert left the scene of his performance but returned shortly afterwards. He was clearly affected by alcohol. The man pushed over a row of trash cans, spilling their content all over the road.
Not a good day for him.
When students yelled at him to stop this behavior, he became enraged. He told them that he would get a Molotov cocktail and throw it into their home.
Wow.
And that the apartment would burn down to the ground. During his ravings, the defendant was confronted by a female student who implored him to go home. The defendant approached her, lifted a glass bottle above his head, and threw it at her feet as hard as he could. And the
woman
sustained some small cuts to her legs as shards of glass flew around. Despite his client having criminal history spanning more than 30 years, his counsel said that Albert was keen to turn over a new leaf.
Really?
He said he has a couple of ideas, and one of them he's mentioned was to go to law school.
Wow. Well, that's great news.
Isn't that great news?
Yeah. You know what? I want to become a lawyer.
The judge said...
That or a neurosurgeon.
That Albert had received almost every sentence that the court could impose and was still a high
risk. I want to become an astronaut.
Of reoffending, so he was sentenced to 12 months intensive supervision and 2 months community detention, and there you go.
Well, you know, we say, you know, keep the dream going.
Yep.
I'll become a lawyer now.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
The chest of a 60-year-old man burst into flames during surgery, two anesthetists have reported to a conference. The patient was admitted to the hospital for surgical treatment for a tear in his aorta via a procedure known as a sternotomy, during which he was anesthetized by a mixture of an inhaled gas mixture called sevoflurane and an intravenous propofol infusion. During the operation, it was noted that a section of the man's right lung lay close to his sternum. Now, despite careful scalpel work, one of the lung's air-filled sacs, known as a bulla, was nicked, causing the anesthetist to report a significant air leak. So to compensate for leakage flows from the anesthetic machine, flows from the anesthetic machine were increased and 100% oxygen was pumped into the lungs.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the patient was also undergoing a common procedure known as a diathermy, in which electrical current is used to raise the temperature in selected parts of the body. Combination of the heat, the oxygen, and the presence of a dry surgical pack next to the surgical site combined to start a fire in this guy's chest.
Dear God!
It was immediately extinguished with the patient uninjured and none the wiser, though.
Sorry about that. There we go.
Take it out of floor.
Yeah, yeah.
fire extinguisher.
There you go. You're good now.
The incident was only...
Thank you for putting out that fire that you caused in my chest.
It was only the eighth surgery-related chest fire to have occurred since the turn of the century.
Only eight.
Yeah. Four of the others arose in...
It's not like there were 10.
Patients being operated on for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. That's pretty wild.
You had a story a while ago that was very similar.
Yeah. You know what? Here, let me find this other story. It has to do with an open-heart surgery... and it kind of ties into that. Hang on, let me see if, you know what, it may be buried too deep amongst the file because I have a whole lot of stuff.
Lunch there.
No, here it is. I got it. Dr. Mark Forrest knew he had to act fast to save the life of a man that he watched go into cardiac arrest after a motorcycle accident. So this is right here where this accident took place. So this guy cracked open the guy's chest right there on the road and brought him back to life. He gave him open heart surgery.
Oh, my God.
On the side of the road. It happened in Delamere, England, where Forrest is a medical director at the Cheshire Fire and Rescue Service. He said, when they arrest in front of you, they literally die in front of you. And he can't wait 10 or 15 minutes. It's got to be now. So he performed emergency heart surgery right then and there. He said, I gave everyone the heads up that we were going to do it, but I don't think people quite realized what we meant. So he's telling these other people, I'm going to cut this guy's chest open. And he went in.
Jesus.
Open it up completely on the roadside. Steve, saved like his life.
The time you gave that lady the tracheotomy when slipped and fell in the supermarket?
Absolutely. Or there was a woman who was having trouble making up her mind, and I had to perform an immediate tracheotomy. Yep. So how did he cut the chest open?
Well, he's a medical. He was there to.
Did he karate chop it?
No, he didn't karate chop him. He's from the Cheshire Fire and Rescue Service, so they were there to help him out. But
this is like using a spork.
No, normally they would throw you in the ambulance and take you back to the hospital.
But they had to do it right there.
Yeah, so he managed to get a pulse, and the man identified as John O'Brien made a full recovery. He said, I think we're all quite stunned that we'd managed to get this guy back. Forrest said he had never performed heart surgery under such conditions until he sprang into action that day.
I'm having this image of the guy opening up his chest with a golf tee.
He had only practiced and taught on-the-spot surgery using mannequins and simulations, but he has good news for other first responders who might be in the same situation one day. He said you drill and drill and drill for it, and that really helps when you have to do it. These two, Forrest and O'Brien, met in May at a ceremony where Forrest received recognition from the local fire chief.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Kathy sent me this B-File story. This is great. A real estate sign that was washed away during Hurricane Sandy just showed up in France.
No.
Wow. Diane Turton Realtors of Point Pleasant posted a photo to their Facebook page of one of their rental signs lying on the beach in France. Now, how I got there is truly an incredible story. The sign was discovered by beachgoer Hans Frank on the shores of Bordeaux, France. The Diane Turton Realtor sign belonged to the Wall Branch and was most likely from one of their waterfront listings. It's believed that the sign was washed away during Hurricane Sandy and made impossible journey all by itself from the Garden State of France. That's 5 years ago, folks.
Yes, I would like to purchase the home once owned by Snooki.
Where are you calling from?
France.
So it had been floating in the Atlantic Ocean for 5.5 years and slowly made the trip all the way to Europe. Badly damaged and worn from the surf, the sign was still legible. And after some internet research, the Frenchman was able to contact Diane Turton Realtors and let them know about the incredible find. After posting the story on their Facebook page, the realty company boasted that they are now truly a global real estate company.
We should pay to see if we can get a Tom Skiffington sign up on Mars.
Wouldn't that be great? Well, all right, and then we'll do one more story. Wrap up with this one. A fuming wife bit her hungover husband's penis in an argument after he refused to join her for breakfast. Chum Bung? Yeah, chomped on her husband's genitals in retaliation for him violently biting her ear.
This doesn't sound like a happy marriage.
No, it doesn't.
How do you gain access to the genitals?
That's a good question. Well, this happened the morning after the pair had indulged in heavy drinking session. Now, she had called out to her husband, Lai Leap, to have some food at their home on Saturday morning.
F you, chum.
But her husband was suffering from a bad hangover and ignored three calls from his wife while trying to go back to sleep. His angry wife stormed into his room, tried to drag him out of bed, causing a furious argument. Lee is alleged to have then chomped on his wife's ear, which caused her to retaliate by plunging her teeth into his penis.
Well, she wins that fight.
I think so. She then bit his right testicle, causing severe bleeding, prompting howls of pain from him.
Ah! You bit my testicle.
Concerned neighbors went to intervene before police arrived at the bloody scene.
Oh, my God.
The husband was rushed to the hospital where medics treated his genital injuries.
Have you ever zipped up your junk and caused a cut?
God.
It bleeds like nobody's business.
It does.
It didn't bleed that bad, but I was at Citizens Bank Park. I was like, you've got to be effing kidding me.
I caught a little bit of sac in a zipper years ago, and it I thought I was going to bleed out.
I've cut it shaving before.
Yeah.
Like almost every time that I groom my nether regions, I nick something. It sucks.
Yeah, it's bad, man.
Cobb said that neither the husband nor his wife wanted to press charges, by the way. They blame the assaults on both of them drinking heavily the previous evening. So,
well, they worked it out.
Maybe they'll patch things up.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.